Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the UCLA Ideas Telepress Conference, announcing the release of the annual California Educational Opportunity Report. During the presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. Afterwards, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, if you do have a question, please press the 1 followed by the 4 on your telephone. Please remember to log in to the accompanying web presentation by going to www.readytalk.com and entering the access code 2674408. You may ask a question during the presentation by using the chat feature located in the lower left corner of your screen. Audio questions, you may press the 1 followed by the 4 on your telephone. If you need to reach an operator at any time, please press star 0. I would now like to turn the conference over to John Rogers, Director of UCLA's Institute for Democracy, Education, and Access. John, please go ahead.
Thank you, and thank you everyone for joining the call today. My name is John Rogers. I'm a professor of education at UCLA and director of UCLA's Institute for Democracy, Education, and Access, otherwise known as IDEA. I'm going to speak for about 15 minutes and then invite questions. UCLA IDEA produces research about K-12 education and particularly about providing high-quality education to all California school children. For the last 4 years, we have joined with UC Accord in creating an annual California Educational Opportunity Report. These reports have analyzed state and national data sets to assess the overall quality of California public schools compared to the rest of the nation, as well as the distribution of educational opportunities across different communities in the state. This year's report is something of a departure from our previous reports because this is an extraordinary year. California now faces the worst economic downturn since the Depression. Our report addresses two questions. First, to what extent have California public schools been able to meet the growing social welfare needs of students and families in the midst of recession? Second, how have budget cuts impacted learning conditions across California public schools? To answer these questions, we conducted interviews with a representative sample of principals from across the state. Given their daily interaction with students and families, as well as their programmatic responsibilities, principals are ideally placed to report on the effects of the recession at the school level. The 87 principals in our study lead a diverse set of schools from all regions of the state. The unique circumstances in each community shape the experiences and hence the responses of each principal. Yet, our interviews reveal common themes across California communities, as well as differences in the degree of impact on families and school programs. Overall, several core findings emerge. First, the recession has created acute new social needs for students attending a broad cross-section of California public schools. Second, California's weak educational and fiscal infrastructure has limited the ability of schools to respond to these new needs, despite the extraordinary efforts of local educators. Third, budget cuts have led to teacher layoffs and larger classrooms. Fourth, budget cuts have eroded the conditions for teaching and learning, reducing student access to instructional materials. Fifth, many school programs that previously were viewed as essential, like summer school, have been eliminated or cut back. Sixth, budget cuts have undermined efforts of schools to sustain improvement and reform. Seventh, local strategies aimed at filling in budget gaps, such as fundraising and parcel taxes, are likely to exacerbate inequalities in the state. In the remainder of this morning's teleconference, I will describe the methodology of our study in more detail and then walk through these 7 core findings. Before closing, I will direct you to our website where you will find our analysis of conditions in California schools prior to the onset of the recession, and you will be able to search for opportunity reports on each California middle school and high school. Let me now ask you to turn to slide number 2, showing the methodology of our principal study. Last summer, the UCLA IDEA research team conducted interviews with 87 principals randomly selected from across California's public schools. Teams of UCLA researchers interviewed the principals by phone, with one researcher posing questions and the other taking verbatim notes. The interviews generally lasted between 30 and 45 minutes. Principals who participated in the study were promised confidentiality. The 87 principals came from schools that proportionally represented California's wide diversity of geography, school size, school type, and student demographics. As you can see in slide number 3, the principals in the study came from 32 counties all across California. 5% of our principal sample came from charter schools, roughly the same as for the state as a whole. If you turn to slide number 4, you will see that the student demographics of schools in our sample are nearly identical to the demographics of California's public schools. In analyzing the principal interviews, we compared responses from principals of schools enrolling low proportions and high proportions of students from low-income families. Schools designated as low poverty rank in the bottom 30% of the state in the proportion of students qualifying for free or reduced price lunch. Schools designated as high poverty rank in the top 30% of the state in the proportion of students qualifying for free or reduced price lunch. Findings from our study begin on slide number 5. It will come as little surprise to anyone that the recession has dramatically increased the number of students living in poverty, as well as the daily pressures faced by students and their families. Duke demographer Kenneth Land recently projected that more than 1 in 4 California children will be poor in 2010, a figure higher than at any point in the last 2 decades. California's principals have witnessed firsthand the growth of joblessness and family poverty. One principal in Northern California recounted an advisory council meeting for Spanish-speaking parents, where he learned that 3/4 of the council had lost their jobs since their last meeting. Many principals talked with us about growing homelessness and increased food insecurity amongst families at their schools. One principal described an epidemic of hunger. A veteran principal in Southern California noted that her school had not faced much family mobility in the past. Now, due to the foreclosure crisis, her school has become, quote, like a revolving door. More than half the principals reported that the recession increased the health, psychological, or social service needs of their students. Many other principals reported that student needs in these areas were already high prior to the recession. Slide 6 highlights a common theme we heard in our interviews. Principals and teachers across the state have taken extraordinary steps to fill the social welfare needs created by the recession. At a middle school in Riverside County, the office staff collects money to help families pay the bills. Teachers at many schools bought clothes and food for needy families. One LA County principal notes that, quote, I've been at this school for over 20 years, and I've never seen this happen before. Yet as principals have tried to connect families with social services at the school and in the broader community, they have found that many services have been cut back. Principals in high-poverty schools were almost 3 times as likely as principals of low-poverty schools to report that services had been cut. One telling story comes from a principal in Humboldt County who trained her receptionist to contact families experiencing economic hardship and provide them with information about the state's Healthy Families program. Then budget cuts forced the district to lay off the receptionist, leaving the principal scrambling to meet the needs of her community. We see on slide 7 that budget cuts have led most California schools to send off layoff notices or pink slips. While most schools in the state threatened to fire teachers, actual layoffs were concentrated in high-poverty schools. High-poverty schools in California were more than 4 times as likely as low-poverty schools, 66% to 15%, to lay off teachers. Many principals worried about the effect of layoffs on their school's culture, and several bemoaned the loss of new and energetic teachers who were the first to be laid off despite being, quote, dynamite, cutting edge, and go-to people. Teacher layoffs had led 2/3 of California schools to increase class size. Class size increase was particularly common in elementary schools, where 3 in 4 principals reported that they had expanded class size. Slide 8 points to the ways that budget cuts eroded conditions for teaching and learning. The majority of schools delayed scheduled purchase of new textbooks. 75% of principals reported cuts to instructional materials and supplies. One principal responded to us with dark humor, quote, we got projected budgets for the year, and I laughed. We've almost nothing to get through the year, unquote. 7 in 10 principals similarly reported deep cuts to school maintenance budgets. One principal of a high-poverty elementary school in Southern California reports, quote, oh, God, I've been cut 50%. I have 800 children, 50 classrooms, two people are told they've got to clean it up and keep it sanitary. It's impossible. In slide 9, we see that many schools have cut programs once considered essential. 7 in 10 principals reported that they had to reduce or eliminate summer school. High-poverty schools were far more likely to eliminate summer school outright. Roughly half of the principals we interviewed reported reductions to after-school programs, field trips, arts, and music. Many schools have shifted costs for these programs to parents or community groups. In many high-poverty schools, parents have not been able to meet these new demands. One of the most striking messages from principals was that budget cuts threaten their schools' ongoing efforts to improve the quality of instruction. As slide 10 shows, 70% of principals reported that professional development efforts have been severely cut or eliminated. Further, many principals described how the crisis diverted attention from their role as instructional leaders. A high school principal in Monterey County noted, quote, "Principals are dealing with problems on campus instead of focusing on student learning, as we should be, and the state is mandating us to do." Given the deep and widespread impacts of budget cuts, it's not surprising that many have called for local communities to address the growing financial gap through donations or partial taxes. But as you can see in slide 11, these strategies tend to exacerbate inequalities between low-poverty and high-poverty schools and districts. Principals of the more affluent schools in our study reported receiving on average $167,000 in donations, or nearly $8 for every $1 collected by high-poverty schools. We also analyzed parcel tax votes across California during 2009. In the 20 districts that passed the parcel tax, on average 15% of the students received free or reduced price lunch. This compares to a state average of 53%. What then is to be done? We did not ask the principals this question, yet many principals pointed to the need for direct assistance in the short term and restructuring of California's funding system over the longer term. As slide 12 suggests, there's a tendency for policymakers in Sacramento to focus on how to cut up the fiscal pie. California's principals prompt us to think differently about the budget. Their concern with the educational and social welfare needs of students suggests that it makes little sense to protect education if social services are decimated. California's public schools need strong working families, and California's working families need strong public schools. In this moment of economic crisis, it's time we all start working to grow the fiscal pie. Reporters can find a copy of our report and an array of additional analyses of the conditions and outcomes in California schools at our website, www.edop.org. You'll find this URL on slide 13. Slide 14 shows a mock-up of that page. If you click on the Search California Schools, you're taken to a search engine shown in slide 15. This newly revised search engine allows members of the public to easily access data on middle schools and high schools, as well as school districts across the state. It also offers the same search capacity in Spanish. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. I'm happy to answer questions at this point.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. If you would like to register a question, please press the 1 followed by the 4 on your telephone. You will hear a 3-tone prompt to acknowledge your request. If your question has been answered and you would like to withdraw your registration, please press the 1 followed by the 3. You may also ask a question for the chat feature located in the lower left corner of your screen. One moment, please, for our first audio question. Once again, as a reminder, to register for your audio questions, you may press the 1 followed by the 4.
There is a question from Holly Reed, RF, what is the first question I'm supposed to get?
The question is from Vivian Poe.
Okay, I'm sorry. We're dealing with technology here. We apologize. First question is from Vivian Poe, and it is, how are high-poverty school and low-poverty schools defined? What we did was to take the schools in the bottom 30% of the percentage of students receiving free and reduced lunch and designate those schools as low poverty schools, and take the schools that were in the top 30% of students receiving free and reduced lunch and designate those as high poverty schools. One other complication in how we frame this, because elementary schools tend to have a higher proportion of their students receiving free and reduced lunch, what we did was to take the bottom 30% of elementary schools, the bottom 30% of middle schools, and the bottom 30% of high schools, and look at those as separate categories. And then the top 30% of elementary schools, top 30% of middle schools, and top 30% of high schools. In that way, we weren't comparing apples and oranges. The second question comes from Jill Tucker. And she says, it doesn't appear San Francisco, and she must mean by the San Francisco County was included. Why? That was just a happenstance. The way in which our sample was created, we created a sample of roughly 800 schools in the state that would that represented the variations in school size from large to small to medium size. We created a sample that also reflected elementary, middle schools, and high schools, the demographic diversity. And then we began calling these schools, ensuring that we would have representation across geography, school size, et cetera. It just so happened that we didn't reach out to somebody from San Francisco County. That was just happenstance. A third question, Terrence Che. Which findings surprised you most? You know, let me point to two. One is this point about instructional leadership, because we actually didn't ask the principals directly about this. We asked the principals how the economic crisis had impacted them. And on their own, the majority of principals came back to us and said, we are not able to do what the state's asking us to do. The state increasingly is calling upon principals to improve instruction at their school sites, to improve instruction particularly for students who are not scoring proficient on state tests. Principals want to be playing this role, and yet they've been diverted from this task by a whole set of other responsibilities, and they've been given less tools in order to promote that very important goal. A second finding that really struck me was the way in which the economic crisis has created something of an anti-stimulus package through the cuts to workers at school sites. So we heard various different principals speak about janitors who were cut back or having their jobs eliminated, receptionists, nurses, counselors, teachers. And taken all together, all of these cuts meant that in many communities you had more unemployed people, less money being put back into the tax system. And in addition, many of these receptionists and janitors and teachers are parents of public school kids, and their families were hurt further as a consequence, creating further pressure on the public schools in the state. That was a theme we heard constantly, the interrelationship between the social welfare needs, the economic conditions, and the conditions in public schools. Are there any further questions at this time?
Once again, as a reminder, if you would like to register your audio questions, please press the 1 followed by the 4. We do have an audio question from the line of Dan Walters from the Sacramento Bee. You may proceed. Mr. Walters, your line is open, sir. You may proceed with your question.
Yeah, you flashed the website to look at the full report on very briefly before anybody could get a shot at it. Can you put that back up or let us know what it is or something?
We will try and do. Can you see it now?
Hold on a second.
Or I will just tell you. So you can go to our UCLA Idea site and then click on Educational Opportunity, or you can go to www.edopp.org. and it will direct you to that spot. So that's www.edopp.org, E-D-O-P-P.org.
Okay.
And on that site, again, there's a search engine. There is a separate report that highlights conditions across California schools using state data from the most recent state data. The reason why we did these interviews was the state data doesn't capture what happened during the recession, but the most recent state data still tells some very powerful stories about what is happening in California schools today. And we highlight, for example, the rate at which students in the class of 2008 progressed from ninth grade to graduation into colleges. We highlight some of the lacks that existed in California public schools before this recession, and some of the inequalities that existed in California public schools before this recession.
Thank you.
There's another question from Terrence Che. What will be the long-term legacy of this recession on California public schools? It's interesting to note that several principals made the point that we are trying our best now. We will get through this year, but we can't do this forever. So I think that is a critical point as we begin to look ahead to another difficult budget year in California. How long can we stretch and strain the educational system, the social welfare system? Already we see a lot of pain being meted out by the cuts, but that, to some extent, that has been ameliorated by additional efforts on the part of teachers and principals and social workers, et cetera. It's not clear that all of those efforts can be sustained over the long term. A lot of principals were deeply concerned about how teacher layoffs and other layoffs were going to undermine their long-term efforts to reform and improve instruction at their school. Professional development has been seriously cut. So it's those long-term needs that I'm really concerned about. I also think that some of the trends, some of the positive trends that have played out over the last 5 years, stand to be turned in the opposite direction in the wake of the recession. So over the last 5 years, as a response to the settlement in the Williams case and demographic changes, No Child Left Behind, we've seen improvements in the overall quality of the teaching force in California schools. We've seen improvements in the infrastructure of California's facilities. We've seen some improvements in access to textbooks and instructional materials. All of those areas are undermined in the context of the recession. And we see this around school facilities. We see this around learning materials. We see this around the overall quality of the teaching force and its ability to sustain itself. And so I think it's critical at this moment that we say, can we ensure that further cuts don't further erode the gains that have been made over the last few years? There's another question, how do the impact of budget cuts in California schools compare with what's happening in other states? And I should say first that we don't have great data on this. And there hasn't been comparable studies in other states about the impacts of these budget cuts. I do think that our study is the first of its kind. What I can say is that California entered the recession in a particularly vulnerable point, and that was true for two reasons. One is California's educational infrastructure was weak before we started the recession. We were spending roughly $2,300 less on average than the national average for each and every student, and as a consequence, we had more students for every teacher in our secondary schools. We had more students for every counselor in our secondary schools than in any other state. In addition, our fiscal infrastructure, as we know, was very weak prior to the recession. And so California entered the recession with less capacity to respond, and our budget gap grew at rates that were really not seen in almost any other state. And as a consequence, new monies that flowed into California, particularly federal stimulus dollars, which were critically important, could not fill the gaps in the same way that they did in other states. There's a question from Melody Gutierrez. Is any part of the study broken out by county? We do not report on the findings by county per se, simply because we did not have a large enough sample. However, two things that we do have. Throughout the study, each of the principals is either identified by the county in which they work, or they're identified more generally as a principal from Southern California, say. If any of the reporters are interested in the counties of these individual principals, where the counties are not otherwise indicated, they can contact us and we'd be happy to provide them with the counties that the individual principals are from. In addition, on that website that we showed before, www.edop.org, you can find data on California public schools by school district, by legislative district, assembly, senate, congressional, in ways that will allow you to provide a real portrait of the educational conditions and outcomes in different regions of the state. Vivian Poe asks, are there any recommendations to alleviate the pain caused by the budget cut? I should say that this wasn't the purpose of the study. The study really was trying to document what has happened. But the principals did indirectly, because we didn't ask them what should be done, but they indirectly pointed to a couple different ideas. One was that there's a need for immediate relief and immediate support. And the principals didn't say this, but I do think when we look at the political landscape, it's pretty clear that additional monies are going to have to come from Washington, D.C. And so I think that there's a conversation that has begun over the last couple months in Washington, D.C. about the need for additional dollars to flow to states, particularly those states that have been hardest hit by the recession. So I think that's one piece that the short-term needs. Clearly, also, a number of principals spoke to the longer-term need for school finance reform in California. Again, unprompted, but many did address this issue. And in addressing it, a couple themes emerged. One was this idea that the fundamental needs of students need to be met, and so it was important for a new school finance system to provide adequate conditions for teaching and learning and ongoing support so teachers and school staff can learn and improve over time. A second idea was the need to think about money that flows to education in relationship to money that's flowing to other social services. Again and again, the principals talked about their schools as centers of the community and the need to ensure that the students coming into their schools and the families that are being by their schools have access to the services they need to be healthy and to be ready to learn once they get into the school. And then finally, another principle that the principal spoke to was the importance of creating a more transparent fiscal system, that they felt like to really get parents behind supporting public education, parents needed to know what money was flowing in, where it was going to, and why it was necessary. There's a question from David Nagel. When will the full report be available on the site? It is available on the left side of that www.edop site. You'll find it right there. There's a big icon of the report, and you can click where it says Download State Report and Data and Definitions. Are there any other questions at this time?
We have no audio questions at this time, sir.
Well, I'd like to thank everyone for participating in the teleconference call. If there are any further questions or you would like to speak with us directly, you have our website. Our contact number is, we're just pulling it up, I apologize, 310-267-4408. That's 310-267-4408. 4408. Thanks again for participating. Talking to you in the future.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This does conclude the conference call for today. We thank you all for your participation and ask that you please disconnect your lines. Have a great day, everyone.